Psalm 78 is kind of a historical psalm, telling all about the ways that God had provided for the children of Israel, and going through some of the details of what God had done. At the beginning of it, it's Asaph that's the writer, and he says, we have to tell it. If we don't, we can't hide it from our children, because that generation needs to hear about it. I'm paraphrasing here. They need to know what God has done and how far that he has brought us. I'm going to skip down to verse 35. The pages of my Bible stick together for some reason. Psalm 78 and verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. It just means that they weren't sincere in their praise to God. They flattered him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right. That was the whole problem with them. They were going through the motions. They were praising God and going through the form of worship, but their heart wasn't in it. Their heart wasn't right. Neither were they steadfast. That's verse 37 in his covenant. Verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft, verse 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I'm sure you've read that phrase, limited the Holy One of Israel. Is it possible that there's anything we could do that would limit God? Can we limit a limitless God? I believe it's possible to limit the Holy One of Israel, to hinder what God wants to do, to limit him. That's what it says that they did. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Are we limiting God? Are we putting limitations on him? Are we hindering what God wants to do? Well, I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to make the mistake of limiting God. How can we limit the Lord? Well, it gives some insight here. And first of all, they forgot all the wonderful ways that God had blessed them and provided for them. Verse 42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day in which he delivered them from the enemy. Now, the children of Israel have an unbelievable history with God. I mean, delivering them from Egypt, delivering them from Pharaoh's army, the Red Sea opening, God turning water, bitter water into sweet. I mean, it's one miracle after another. God providing water, God delivering them from their enemies. The children of Israel, they had a week after week, actually a daily reminder of the provision of God, with manna raining out of heaven every day of their life. And the Bible says they limited God because they forgot. They forgot all the wonderful things. How do you forget all of those things? How do you forget such amazing things? What it really means is they put that out of their mind and filled up their mind with everything else. They pushed the memory of God's faithfulness. We limit God when we fill up our lives with everything else and we forget about all the wonderful things that God has done for us. Some of you have testimonies of great healings in your past. You've had testimonies of different prayers that God has answered that you prayed for, you know, weeks and maybe months or longer, and the Lord came through, and you have the memory of that, and you've just kind of pushed that aside, and all the things that are going on right now have pushed all the memory of the goodness and the faithfulness of God out. We limit God when we forget His wonderful ways, His wonderful acts in our life. Probably everyone could give testimonies to God's provision, God's help, God's strength, God's healing, God's salvation, God, and in so many wonderful ways. Don't limit the Lord. Keep it always in the forefront of your mind that you can make it because of the goodness of God, and you remember His faithfulness. Amen. Another thing is, and I just have two or three of these things on my mind here tonight. We limit God when we don't ask Him for great things. When we don't ask Him for great things, we kind of get satisfied with, oh, this would be great if God would do that. You know, we don't expect Him to do wonderful things, mighty things, unbelievable things. But yet all the while, the Lord speaks to us in the Scripture again and again and again, telling us to ask Him, to go to Him and to ask Him. He is your Heavenly Father, and He wants you to ask Him for great things. We have not because we ask not. We're not asking. We're not asking God for wonderful things, great things. Let me read you a few verses here. Actually, if you run references on it, the verses where we are told to ask God, I mean, there are dozens and dozens of them in the Scripture. I'm just going to hit the highlights here. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, and it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. Notice it says all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. John 16:23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Whatsoever, it says. Whatsoever you shall ask. No limitations. Nothing that God says, you can ask me for certain things. It doesn't say that at all. It says anything. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, there it is again, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And then a verse that we go back to again and again and again from Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think or imagine. That we would ask or imagine according to the power that works in us. Are you asking God? Are you asking God for great things? Are you asking God for wonderful things, for mighty things, for unlimited things? We serve a limitless God. Why don't we ask Him for big things? Let's ask Him for great things. Why? Well, for one thing, He says, your joy will be filled full. And then when you ask Him for great things, He receives the glory and the honor for it, because He's the one that can do mighty works and mighty things. So we limit God because we don't ask Him for great things. We limit God, number three, because we don't take Him at His word. We don't take God at His word. What does He say? I made reference to this back a service or two back from the book of Deuteronomy 28, where it talks about God's promise to his people about blessing them. And when I talk about this, and when the scripture talks about God blessing his people, he's talking about every area of your life. Every area of life, your life. You, whatever matters to you matters to God. If it's important to you, it's important to God. So that means your family, that means your health, that means your finances, that means your job, that means everything that matters to you matters to God. And God says, I want to bless my people. And he promised that in Deuteronomy 28. He promised his blessing. His blessing. Why don't we take him at his word? Where he says, if you'll listen to my voice, if you'll hearken unto my word, then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you above all nations. There'll be no one to be compared to you if you will serve me and honor me and live for me. All these blessings will come on you. They will overtake you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, you can read several verses in that wonderful chapter talking about the blessing of the Lord. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. The list goes on and on and on, and doesn't leave any area of your life out. God wants to bless you in every area of your life. This really describes the nature of God and how he cares about his people. And remember that verse that says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure. I believe that it's your Heavenly Father that gets good pleasure out of blessing you, giving to you, providing for you, working in your behalf. The hand of the Lord. Really, God promised to Abraham the same promise even before it's before Deuteronomy. It's in Genesis 12 and 2. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Why does God bless us? Well, he blesses us in every way. We need to take him at his word. We need to believe his word. He said, I want to bless you. I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing. All of us have been called to be vessels or channels so that God can pour his blessing out upon us in every way imaginable, so that we in turn can pour out and be a blessing. Amen. You say, oh, that's Old Testament. That's for the children of Israel. That's right. Oh, no, no, no. That is the promise of God for every one of us. This is the unlimited God, the limitless God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They stopped him. They hindered what he was doing because they forgot how he'd worked in their life. They were not asking God to move in their behalf. Are you asking God to work and to bless and to move mightily in your life? Are you taking him at his word? Are you? You remember about almost 20 years ago, there was a book that came out that was kind of took the Christian world by storm. And then it actually became a book that was used in corporate meetings, and it was called The Prayer of Jabez. Now, it's two verses in the Bible. It's only two verses in the Bible. But we know that every life and every word of God's word is inspired. Now, I admit, it was probably taken to the extreme because they took it into corporate meetings and offices, and they taught them to chant that two-verse prayer. All those corporate leaders, they would chant it and they would repeat it and pray that prayer of sorts. I'm talking about people that weren't even believers, and they thought that they could use that prayer of Jabez and it was going to cause them to be blessed and increased, and their business was going to be increased. Well, we know that that's not the way God works. God blesses us because we serve him and we put him first in our life. But that doesn't mean that this prayer isn't in the Word of God and isn't important. It asks. It just says in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10 that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." His name meant sorrow or pain. So he had a bad start, and that was the beginning of his life. But it says that Jabez called on the God of Israel and said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it might not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. He asked God to bless him, and the Bible says God heard his prayer, because he served the God of Israel, and he asked God to bless him, and God blessed him, and God enlarged his coast, and God provided for him and worked in his life. Now, why don't we talk about the blessing of the Lord? We're just talking about the hand of the Lord being on your life. Every step of the way. Everything. In your home, in your family, in your work, in your business, in your finances, and every area of your life. God's hand on you. And that's what Jabez asked for. "Oh, God, bless me. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast." And because he prayed that prayer, God said, "I'm going to answer that prayer. He's asking me for big things, and I am going to be glorified in this, and so I'm going to provide for him." Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. We limit God because we don't ask, and we limit God because we ask too small. We ask too small. We think that we might be overstepping ourselves if we ask God to do big things, wonderful things, mighty things. And we ask too small. Remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, the woman who was the widow woman of the sons of the prophets. Elisha came to her and she said, My husband's dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take my two sons away. And Elisha said, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few." That's the key phrase right there. Borrow not a few. And we know the story. The Bible says that she poured out, that miraculously every vessel was filled with oil as she poured it out. And it was only when she ran out of vessels that she ran out of oil. There's a big lesson in this for all of us when it comes to asking God for big things. Amen. As borrow not a few, ask God for wonderful and mighty things, and then watch him work in it. Watch him supply in it. Watch him provide for you. Watch him heal and save and deliver. Amen. And believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. When the vessel, the oil was stayed when the vessels run out. If they had have brought more vessels, there would have been more oil. They would have not run out if they had gotten more and more vessels, because God's provision and God's blessing was contingent upon their willingness and their faith to believe God for something great and mighty. Praise God. Amen. There's nothing wrong at all with the Christian, the children of God, asking God for big things. We ask too small. Now, this is not necessarily an out of line prosperity doctrine, because I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about every area of your life. We limit God. We limit the Lord. He wants to do greater things than you can even imagine. That's what the scripture says. Even greater than you can ask or think or imagine. Greater things than you can ask or imagine. That's what God wants to do, according to the power of God that's at work in us. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. We need to ask God for great things. Amen. Are you limiting the Lord? Is your faith real small? And you don't really have any real expectation of what God can do. Amen. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you begin to see God working and moving. Those of you that have been praying and fasting, believe God. Believe God for great things, big things, wonderful things, mighty things. God's mighty hand at work. Glory to God. And let's trust Him to do just that. Amen. Father, we thank You for the promise of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You care about Your people. You care about the church. And You can provide for us, Lord. Lord, I know that there is no limit to what You can do and what You can work and miracles that You can provide. And Lord, help us to have the faith to reach out, to ask You for great things, to believe You for great things, to trust, Lord, that You are going to bless our lives and our church and the ministry, Lord. Do a work, we pray. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Lord, bless you all.